Hi, this is Nyla, and you're listening to NFTeach, and thank you for supporting NFT Children's Day.
Welcome to NFTeach Episode 4. I am your host, Dr. Jeremy, coming to you Saturday evening from beautiful Dubai. As you heard in the intro from Nyla, and she is at Nyla Collection on Twitter. Sunday is hashtag NFT Children's Day. Support children who make NFT art tomorrow. Follow the hashtag NFT Children's Day to learn more. I am a proud parent of an NFT artist. My son, Deo, who is 7, has been killing it with his avocado collection. There's a link in the show notes, but please support young NFT artists. Let's get into today's show. It is aimed for beginner audiences. I'm going to speak about the insider trading story that rocked Top Shot Twitter Friday. Also, I'll be speaking with Adam Fish to discuss changes to the collector score on NBA Top Shot, what it means for future drops, and who wins and who loses. So I'm sure many of you have probably by now heard about what happened on Friday when a friend of our show, Jacob Eisenberg, who actually will be joining us this Tuesday to talk about Top Shot and the future of Top Shot, joined the On The Moment podcast. He announced the new changes to the collector score and what would be required for the upcoming holo drop. So in Top Shot, for certain packs, you need to have a certain score in terms of how many moments you've collected, what you've done in the marketplace, et cetera, to qualify, to even just get a chance at the pack. These holo moments are legendary Top Shot moments. They have a very small mint, no more than 99. They're very coveted. Previously in beta, there's been no collector score in turn to get these holo packs. Maybe there was one time there was a requirement of having a certain amount of moments previously, but not a collector score to this magnitude. Again, on Friday's Top Shot, Top Shot announced the new collector score requirements on the Own the Moment podcast. Everything was fine. Later, data scientist and overall super smart dude Taylor Stein, who is at Taylor Stein on Twitter, had figured out that the Own the Moment guys, one in particular named Justin, had used this advanced knowledge to purchase specific moments that would become more valuable once the news broke on the collector score. Now, this happened after it was announced publicly, but almost simultaneously with the announcement privately to their Discord members. It was not an announcement that was made on Twitter. Justin, he did. He went on YouTube Live and made an apology saying, and a written apology said, "I purchased the moments thinking they would be a strong value opportunity as they would be popular buys for people looking to buy complete sets." He then did a video response, sort of like video apology, and he was asked point blank by one of his colleagues if he thought what he did was wrong, and he said no. Throughout the video later, he backpedaled a bit and said he made a mistake. He probably should have waited to pick those moments. You know, he said it took 30 to 40 minutes to do the analysis. So he should have probably waited 30 or 40 minutes to pick up the moments in question. And, you know, I'm sure Justin's a good dude. People make mistakes. But in general, like, you know, I think Jacob did a better job of handling the situation. Jacob followed up with a really strong apology. He basically said, "I made a mistake. I'll learn from it. It won't happen again." And I think, like, to me, like, however you feel about the situation, that's the approach you need to take. Like, really, I don't really blame Jacob for any of this. I mean, in actuality, what happened was a mistake. I don't think there was conscious intent to do something underhanded or dirty. But even though I don't really think it's Jacob's responsibility, he took responsibility anyways. He took the L. And sometimes that's just what you have to do. Now, beyond that, Own the Moment has now said that none of them will use the marketplace anymore. I think this is actually an overreaction. I agree with Girl Dad on Twitter who said basically like they should, you know, this is going too far. I mean, they should be able to participate in the community like anyone else. And I would say like not participating in the community would make it more difficult to have a take on the community. I mean, in the end, I think a mistake was made. I mean, this sort of thing happening was really uncharted waters within Top Shot and the Top Shot community. And I think Jacob, he hit it. He hit it 100% right. He handled it the right way. And I kind of feel like Justin from Own the Moment handled it like someone who got caught rather than someone who truly felt like they made a mistake. Either way, I think at this point, people just need to move on. But again, the power of the blockchain left a very clear trail of these purchases, and that transparency led to Taylor Stein's revelation. And I mean, Justin Herzig isn't the wolf of Wall Street. He shouldn't have done it. I don't think he thought through trying to take advantage of his knowledge. I think it was just the excitement, as he mentioned, of being able to participate in the community and what was going on. So I think in the end, everyone just needs to move on. I don't think it was done consciously. And I think that Jacob definitely handled it the right way. But blockchain, increasing that transparency kind of, and Taylor Stein's quick wit and good reporting kind of led us to this point. So I'm going to take a quick break with a word from today's sponsor for the podcast, and we will come back with my guest, Adam Fish, to talk about the Top Shot Collector Score. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This episode of NF Teach is brought to you by the team from My Moment. Collecting just got physical. NFTs have changed the game, giving you the ability to show off your moments online. But now, with My Moment, you can showcase your collection in real life. My Moment allows you to turn any digital moment into a physical card. Display Top Shot moments, Bored Apes, Hash Muss, or even low-effort punks on your desk or in your man cave slash woman cave. Just visit mymoment.com, and that is mymoment.com, and use promo code NFTeach for 25% off your first order. That is mymoment.com and promo code NFTeach for 25% off. We're going to be giving one away in our episode on Tuesday with Jacob, so check out the thread. You'll find it on my, I'll put it pinned so you can find it, but basically you have to pitch your worst NFT idea, and I'm going to ask Jacob to actually decide the victor for that one. So again, very proud to have the sponsorship of My Moment and really excited for their display to come and to start the conversation with people, my work about my NFT collection as they see it on my desk. So thank you to the folks from My Moment. We will be right back. All right, we are back. I am joined by my special guest today. His name is Adam Fish. He is at Keep Fishing on Twitter. According to his Twitter bio, he is an advice-only financial planner, a dad, an NBA junkie, UX enthusiast, occasional cover band singer. Gonna have to ask a couple questions about that today. NFT newbie, JD CFA, and likes to tweet about Top Shot. I actually found him in a thread that he wrote yesterday talking about the effective collector score, which is the focus of our conversation today. Top Shot collector score. Adam, welcome to NF Teach. How are you today?
I'm doing well, and thanks for having me on. I'm excited to dive deep into collector scores. Let's do it.
Yes, as am I. So can you tell me, like, what was your sort of gateway drug into NFTs in Top Shot specifically? How did this start for you?
Yeah, so for me, it started, you know, I bought crypto, not early, not as early as I would have liked, but I first bought crypto in 2018 and kind of been following on the sidelines a bit of just where the space has evolved to and following some of the different experts on it on Twitter, and came across Top Shot, like many people, kind of towards the end of February around that gold rush period, and quickly fell in love with it, sort of combined my love of technology and the NBA and the moments were just cool. And, you know, since then I really got hooked, and it's fun to look at from a data perspective because it is so new and the market's constantly evolving and learning, and the team at Top Shot is too. So, so tracking it has been a lot of fun.
Yeah. And the collector score is a newer sort of functionality that's been added to the Top Shot universe. So people who maybe aren't as Top Shot familiar, who got, you know, lost a bet and are forced to listen to this, or just stumbled upon it on the interwebs, you know, basically when did Collector Score, I think, started sometime in the spring. There was I remember one drop where you needed three moments in your collection. This was the sort of, and one where there was 10 moments in your collection. I think it was another Hollow. So now the Collector Score requirement is a total. They've made like a composite score instead of a moment requirement where you have to have 7,500. The last MGLE drop that happened this past week, it was 2,500. And I heard Jacob that night on Twitch saying, Jacob Eisenberg, saying that it was going to probably be more than double, and it was actually triple. So what is the Top Shot Collector Score? Break it down for us, and why was it introduced in the first place?
Yeah, so I think actually answering the second part of your question first makes sense, because you have to look at the why and sort of what the environment has been really since February, since that big rush of users that came in at that time. So, you know, going back really since the beginning of Top Shot, packs have been a reliable way to make money. So, you know, you'd open a pack, and at least for throughout all of 2021, you would be able to sell the components of the pack for more than it was worth. So getting a pack, any pack really, was almost guaranteed profit. So those are really in demand. And going back to February, you know, the market peaked at that time for those that have been kind of later comers. And over the next couple of months, at least up until the last few weeks, it was really on a steady decline. And even as people watched their account values decline, the one way that they could almost always reliably make money was pack drops. So those were really in demand. What that led to was inevitably some bad actors. So you had some bots, multi-accounters, things like that, that would try to get as many packs as possible. But then you also just had users coming in, not really interested in Top Shot or the NBA or anything like that. And they would just show up, buy a pack, flip it for profit, and that would be the extent of their participation in Top Shot. As you can imagine, I mean, that's not a way to build a successful market, right? That's not sustainable. If people are only coming in to sell for a profit and then leave, that product's going to die, and Top Shot knew it. So they started looking at ways to limit who could qualify for a drop. As you alluded to, you know, the first step was you have to have 3 moments or 10 moments. Then they said, you know, 15 common moments or 2 rares or 1 legendary. And then in early May, they basically came out and said, you know what, there are a lot of different ways to collect. We don't want to tell you how to collect, how to build your collection. We're just going to do a score that is going to be a composite of all the components of your collection. So you're going to get a certain number of points for series 2 commons, for series 2 rares, for series 1 commons, series 1 rares, and so on and so on. And then with the bonuses that we'll get to in a little while, but that was sort of the baseline to say, okay, you're going to need a certain score. You're going to need to show that you're a certain level of market participant if you want access to, I'll call it, the privilege of these drops.
And, you know, when you talk about the privileges, so I am a late February enter, you know, beginner in the Top Shot market as well. So my first pack was a Seeing Stars pack. And, you know, I got a low serial Steph Curry first pack, and it was booming. And I wasn't going to sell because I just didn't feel like I wanted to see what was going to happen. But part of the question that I would have economically about the market decline, and maybe you can talk about this a little bit before we kind of jump back into Collector Score specifically. This is going to sound reductive in an oversimplification, but why were people continuing to sell their moments at a depreciative value? Was it a fear that the market would not ever correct itself? Was it a panic? Like, what? Because in my mind, I would just go, okay, just supply and demand would tell me that eventually this is going, when series eight comes, these things are going to become more valuable. They're going to become more rare, more scarce. So I don't understand the psychology of eating $12,000 on some legendary moment. Can you explain sort of what happened? What were the market factors that contributed to that decline, the rapid decline, especially over the past 3 weeks or so?
Yeah. It's hard to point to beyond just human psychology. You know, it's sort of like what contributes to a recession. I mean, it's myriad factors. It's hard to point to any one thing, and it's one of those things that once it starts to snowball, it's hard to slow it down. Now, you know, Top Shot itself has a little bit more control over the market than, say, the central bank does. So that, you know, it's not a perfect analogy, but you still have market actors that sometimes can act irrationally. So I think a lot of it certainly was panic. You know, for a long time, again, because packs were so profitable, people kept asking, well, when's the next pack drop, right? People were ravenous for the next pack drop, and people were, you know, it became a meme, the when packs meme, people made shirts of it. So,
and then throwdowns happened, and then everything changed.
So, right. So, well, I think you can actually go back a couple more drops to even some of the base drops that by the time those base packs were dropping, the packs were pretty much neutral EV, maybe slightly negative EV. So I think essentially, you know, and this is going to be an oversimplification, but I think what happened was people were so demanding of moments that Top Shot to some degree said, okay, if you want moments, we're going to drop moments. And then all of a sudden people looked around and say, well, wait a second, if there's more moments, each moment isn't going to be worth as much. So I got to sell this, right? Like I have a 35K circulation moment. Well, there's just going to be more, right? There's how many Steph Curry S2 common moments are there going to be? I guess mine isn't going to be worth very much. And so it just spiraled. And then, as you said, you know, you had the throwdown packs. And I do think that it's a good example where I think one of the things that Top Shot tried to do in an effort to discourage kind of bad actors or people just coming in to flip the packs for a profit is say, okay, well, we're going to raise the price of the packs. Because if it's not as immediately profitable, then maybe we'll discourage some of those people. But the byproduct of that in a falling market is that people just lose even more because you pull open the pack and it's immediately worth $100 less than you bought it for, and your account's already in the red. I think there's going to be a stop point where eventually people are going to say, you know what, the hell with this. Like I'm down enough. I'm not putting in any more.
Yeah, but you would think like the backing of the NBAPA, the backing of the National Basketball Association, and the sort of long-term, the valuation that it's hit, like that people would be incentivized to stay the course, you know? Like, I won't belabor the point. I won't stay here because we do want to talk about the collector score. But so is it basically just the EV factor created fear and panic? And then
I think that's part of it. And I do think part of it is that people, you know, it has the backing of the NBA, the NBPA, but Dapper itself is, I don't want to call it new because they're not new, but they're new to the public. They're new. Most people were not familiar with Dapper, right? They haven't earned the kind of brand awareness that the NBA has. So I think a lot of people looked at the market and said, well, and whether this is fair or not, I think the thinking of a lot of people was, well, Top Shot's just going to keep minting moments for a quick buck, and they're not going to care if my account goes down. They just want to sell more packs for a profit.
They want to become a volume business versus...
Exactly, right? So they're going to be satisfied if every moment is worth $5. And if someone new comes in and buys a $5 moment and it's worth $5 a year later, they won't care. But I bought this moment for $200, so it's going to go down to $5. I'd rather just sell it at $50.
Got it.
So I do think that was part of the sentiment that I felt. And I think that's part of the reason why in recent weeks, Top Shot and Roham have really made an effort to be more transparent and to start laying out more of the roadmap. And they've started to say, listen, in the future, we're going to limit the number of new moments that a player is going to get in a given series. We're going to limit the number of new drops. You know, we understand the need for scarcity in this product, even though, you know, digital is theoretically infinite, but we need to have some sort of scarcity to kind of to buoy the market.
So this is a good sort of transition into this whole collector score conversation, right? Because honestly, my honest prediction, when I heard Jacob Eisenberg say it'll be maybe more than double, I thought maybe 5,500 was sort of the number that I had in my mind. So This sharp increase, why do you think, if you are Roham, and you're driving this thing, what makes you set collector score at 7,500? Like, what's your sort of model are you working through for that?
So, and I don't, obviously I'm not going to speak for the team, but this is just sort of my reading the tea leaves. I think they looked at it and said, well, a lot of early users are down a lot of money. It's going to be a big ask to throw down $1,000 for the holo drop, which is the price that it was. The last holo drop was $1,000. So they said, well, how do we try to incentivize building a collection, reward people that have spent a lot more than they have pulled out of the market? So a lot of those people that joined in late February, right, they would have bought a lot more than what they've been able to recover. And how do we make it a price that people aren't going to say, oh, you're really going to make me put another $1,000 into this? You know, I'm down 3,000, I'm down 6 or 10 or 15,000. You want me to put in another $1,000? So I think the solution was, we'll make a really high collector score with bonuses for people that have spent a lot more than they have taken out of the market, and we'll make it a low price.
And it makes sense, right? It's like, imagine you're still having that $999 pack price, but you're basically having 230 of it come directly from pack revenue. And then you're having the remainder come from marketplace spend because people are trying to, you know, get into this queue. I can see it.
Right.
It makes a lot of sense. And I mean, honestly, where the market was, I would take that $999 and I would spend it on a bevy of other moments that have depreciated and lost value, and leave with three or four known players for that money versus taking the chance that you're going to end up with, a lesser player, or a Lauri Markkanen, God forbid, as a Bulls fan. That's always the kiss of death for me if I get a Lauri Markkanen. But you at least kind of have some agency in what you have in your collection. So that makes total sense. So
I'll be honest. I wasn't planning on buying a pack if it was $9.99, just because I didn't have the Dapper available. And, you know, my account's deep in the red, as many other people's are. I'm still bullish on Top Shot long term, don't get me wrong, but I'm not looking to put in another $1,000 with the fear that, oh, maybe I only pull a moment that's worth $500, that I would either not put in that money, or as you said, I would put it in and spend it on moments I actually want.
And at 230, you can't ignore that. If you get a chance to buy that pack for 230, the risk reward factor is hedged significantly, right? Like,
absolutely. I don't see any world in which you pull a holo that ends up being worth less than 230.
Yeah. So these bonuses that were introduced this week in terms of ways to help collectors reach that 7,500 point threshold, you want to walk through what some of those are, and then we can get into the mechanics of them?
Sure. So there are bonuses that can add to your collector score to get to that 7,500. And the team has made clear that the bonuses are not necessarily going to be the same every drop. They're not necessarily going to exist at every drop. There may be new ones. These ones may change. The marketplace spend bonus is different in the holo drop than it was in the MGLE drop or in the premium drop. So these just apply for now for the holo drop. So the first one is the marketplace spend. So that's, as we said before, it's the total amount that you've spent in the marketplace minus the amount that you have sold for, or the amount that you've earned after fees from selling in the marketplace. And that can be worth up to 5,000 points. There's the cool cat bonus, which we'll sort of leave to the side because that's specific to only those that have completed the cool cat requirement, that they were promised access to every queue for the rest of the series. And then it's
important to clarify though, right? Access to queue does not equal access to pack. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they're getting,
you just get in line.
Yeah. You're getting, you can have your number randomly drawn for the queue, but it doesn't mean that you're guaranteed a holo if you did the cool cats challenge.
Yes, absolutely. That's a good point and important distinction. The other bonuses that I think are a little bit more interesting because they are a little bit more intentional, I think, in in directing people to collect in certain ways. And I think they are most likely to be bonuses that we will see continue into the future. And those are the set and team completion bonuses. So for anyone that completes a set, so that could be the Seeing Star set, it could be the Gift set, it could be the whole base set if you're into that sort of thing, you get a 50% bonus on each of those moments. A 200% bonus, I should say, or 100% bonus. The point value is doubled. That's right. What I was trying to get at. The point value is doubled for each of those moments. There's also an additional bonus for a challenge reward, because challenges are, you know, for Seeing Stars, for example, that was a challenge. That's a set, and there was a challenge component to it. So you get a 2x bonus for a set, and then there are certain team bonuses. And I should say, for the set completions, those are not stackable. So in other words, if you have all the components of a Seeing Star set and you have 5 of the LeBrons, you don't get additional bonuses on each of those other LeBrons. It's only the one that completes the set. For the team bonuses, they're a little bit different. So team bonuses for a series 1 or a series 2, if you get one moment of all the players that had a moment for your team in series 1 or series 2, you complete that bonus and you get a 50% bonus on each of those. So I'm a Raptors fan. If I completed all the Raptors, one moment from each Raptor in series 1 or one moment from each Raptor in series 2, I would get a 50% bonus. And if I do a full team completion, so I have one moment from every Raptor that's been on the site in series 1 or series 2, you get 150% bonus in addition to that 50% bonus. And these bonuses are stackable. So if I do a full team bonus and I get 5 Kyle Lowry base moments, the bonus component would be added to each of those moments.
Yes. So I think you've made some really important points there, right? So I'm a Bulls fan. So I woke up this morning, Dubai time, trying to figure out what was going on. I first go on Top Shot and Twitter and see what's happening first thing when I wake up. And the first thing I do is I go, I have a lot of Bulls moments because I'm a Bulls collector. Like I for whatever reason, love Kobe White. I detest Lauri Markkanen, but I still have a Lauri Markkanen moment. I have lots of Zach LaVine moments because I think he's always one of those like all-stars that are really underpriced, and like every single moment that he has is affordable. So I went and I said, okay, cool. This is going to be no problem. Until I looked at the Jimmy Butler Run It Back, which is, I think base lowest ask was $2,399 or something. And I said, oh crap, I'm not going to be able to complete this. There's no way I'm dropping 2.3K on a Jimmy Butler moment. But then that was when Twitter educated me that I could just complete the series 2 Bulls players, still get a nice bonus. I think I had everyone but Otto Porter Jr. So then I started looking at my other rosters of moments to see where was I close. And it turned out after doing the math that there are some teams that are in a more favorable position to complete. If you have no moments, right, you're starting totally new. There's some teams that are more favorable to complete than others. Do you want to describe some of that and how that goes?
Yeah. So, and I'll give credit to Taylor Stein for the great article that he published.
We referenced it at the beginning. We talked on the moment before we jumped on, or on the moment, yeah. I should say. So that was, Taylor Stein's great, man.
Yeah. He published a newsletter that, that broke down each team, but I'll sort of give the big picture. So, you know, there's wide variability in what the cost would be if you were looking to do a full team completion. So it can be anywhere from, you know, the Charlotte Hornets, they don't have any run it back moments. They, you know, there aren't a lot of really expensive guys that say, you know, there are some players, for example, that only have a rare moment, you know, for I as a Raptor fan, I believe that Norm Powell's only Raptor moment in S1 is an MGLE. So, you know, if I want to do the full team completion, I got to pay up for the MGLE. So, you know, and they vary all the way up to the Hornets. I think it's for a few hundred, you could do a full team completion. And at the other end of the spectrum is the Oklahoma City Thunder, because if you want to do a full team completion, you got to pay up for that Kevin Durant run it back. That is one of the most valuable moments on Top Shot. I don't know what it's trading at today, probably around 16 or 17K. So that, right, he was on the team in S1. He's one of the players that is a component of the full team completion. So there's a lot of variability in the cost. And so it's definitely worth looking at, you know, anyone, as you said, Jeremy, anyone that has a run it back moment as the only moment on that team, which is often going to be the case because, right, that was the 13-14 season. A lot of guys are not on the team anymore. So, you know, you have Jimmy Butler on the Bulls, you have Chris Bosh on the Heat. There are a lot that if you want to do a full team, bonus, you got to pay up for everybody who's been there, including those guys, right? If you're a Spurs fan, you got to get Manu, you got to get Tony.
I love that Manu moment too. That's
a great one.
Yeah. But you know, I think it's hard because, you know, this product, Top Shot, NFTs in general, right? It's a really new space. And I feel like I sometimes feel for Jacob and the community leaders and the community managers at Top Shot, because it's really hard. You and if there's anything I've learned as a leader of an organization, a leader of two organizations, is that no one's ever really happy with your decisions. There's always someone or multiple people who are displeased. One of the biggest issues, right, was that Top Shot was a speculative land grab where you tried to get rich quick. This is one of the issues. There wasn't enough utility within the base moments. They weren't useful for anything. The DFS started happening with the Daily Fantasy Sports and being able to play like with moment ranks and use them, and that's really cool. But like, what I love about this is the fact that now my base moment has something. There's something useful when I open that base set pack. And now that I know these teams, things happen, it's just another lens in which I would analyze my marketplace spending. It's just like another factor, right?
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And I'll talk a bit, I think, about, and maybe this is a good place to talk about sort of the Twitter thread that I had the other day and how my thinking kind of evolved on it. So when I was looking at, I'd been thinking about these new bonuses and the collector score specifically, and thinking about, you know, what the impact would be on the market. And as we talked about, you know, the points that you get are just based on the series and the tier. It doesn't matter which moment it is. So if you're looking at series two rare moments, the point value is going to be the same, whether you're looking at a Naz Reid throwdown moment for $40 or the Kevin Durant, you know, Nets dipsy do alley-oop highlight of the year that's now $3,000. You get the same point value either way. So I was thinking, well, how's that going to impact the market? Because is that going to make the $3,000 less desirable? Because for $3,000, you could buy, you know, 400 Naz Reid moments, 800 Naz Reid moments. That's not right. 80 Naz Reid moments. And, you know, 80 Naz Reid moments is going to net you a ton of points, where that Kevin Durant moment is just going to give you the 80 points for the rare. So I was wondering, well, the market's gone up a little bit the last couple of weeks. Have the lower value moments been increasing more than the higher value ones, because people are chasing those to try to get the points in anticipation of that premium drop? And so when I looked at series two rares and I broke it out by value in turn in quintiles, what I found was that was true, that the lower value moments actually gained a lot more value on a percentage basis than the higher value ones. So in a way, they were encouraging purchasing of these lower value moments. And at first I questioned it, and then, you know, we had some Twitter discussion and I had some time to think about it. And I thought, wait a second, that's exactly what they want to do. this is probably a feature, not a bug, right? They don't need to convince people to buy a Kevin Durant rare moment, because you buy that for its own sake. It's a great moment. You expect it's going to go up in value in the future. What they need to do is get the Naz Reid moment exactly. more appealing.
Yes.
And I think that that's exactly what they've tried to do with this score, is to say, yeah, you are going to get the same amount of points either way. So the higher value ones have utility for their own sake, and the lower value ones have utility because it's going to help you get a team bonus, or it's just going to get you as many points as the higher value one. You know, we know that that base moments in series two are going to have some trade value when it gets to series two packs down the road, because they've talked about using a ticketing system for that. But that's kind of a one-time aberration in the system. I don't expect that trade-ins are going to be used with any regularity. So they needed to figure out a way to ensure that people are going to want those base moments of bench players, or the rare moments of bench players, or whatever it is, so that every moment has some value in one form or other. And I think this is a good way, both the collector score in general and the team bonuses go a good way to achieving that.
Yeah. And I think then there's a couple sort of situations that you need to think about, which is the traded player one. So for me, you would either have to create some sort of secondary tag where, you know, Jimmy Butler counts as a Heat as well, or he's even though it's a Bulls moment, right? Like it shows up on that Heat scorecard because he's a Heat player. You have to figure out some way to either exclude them or to tag them across to their new team, because the other situation you don't want is you don't want to get to the point where you say moments are less valuable if a player trades teams or he's not on the same team anymore. That's going to create its own issue within itself. So I guess what is your sort of belief on collector score going forward, right? Because this collector score is 7,500. Does that mean to you, Adam Fish, that the next legendary drop would be 2X? Like what are we talking in terms of the future? Or is it a sliding scale depending on market variability and sort of running models and seeing what fits given how many collectors are in the market?
I think it'll probably be a sliding scale. My expectation, my personal opinion, is that I think the marketplace bonus I don't know that it'll go away entirely. I think it'll probably decline over time in terms of importance. I think they've done that for now as a way to kind of throw a bone to some of the collectors that have really found their accounts deep in the red, that, hey, we know you spent a lot more than what you've gotten out of the market. We're going to help you out a little bit and, you know, bump your scores a bit to make it easier for you to pull some of these nicer packs and at least sort of leave with a better taste in your mouth. So I think that will probably decline in importance. And at the same time, I think challenge bonuses, you know, we know that for a long time, challenges have been kind of a money loser for a lot of people. So I think having challenge bonuses will help encourage people to complete challenges. Having team bonuses, I think as we talked about, I think that will encourage people to be more fulsome collectors and go for not just the all-stars, but all the way up and down the lineup. So I think they're going to want to continue encouraging that. And I think the big unknown, it's market variability. And I think in-person utility is also going to be a real factor.
I mean, we could do a whole other episode on that. I have lots of thoughts absolutely. On that. But I think to me, the most underrated set within any series was Hustle and Show. Because Hustle and Show made the challenge completion affordable. Finally, because for me, I mean, looking at the challenges, it was not something that I would really aim to do. It killed me when the market would fly up on a base set moment for, you know, someone that I really don't care to own. Jamichael Green is the one that comes to mind, is someone that I'll always have a salty feeling toward for the rest of my life, for the cost required to buy him. But like, I think Hustle and Show, so it's hard, right? You have to serve customers that are at this boutique, I'm going to buy a cosmic, crazy price point, no budget whale customer. And but there's fewer of them. You don't want to lose them, but there's far fewer of them, right? And then you have your average Joe, your you, your me, the people that are just doing this for fun. They're not looking at it as a get-rich-quick scheme. They just enjoy collecting, and they're bullish on it long-term. You have to serve all of these masters. And is it possible in any business to serve every customer well? I don't know. I think there's always got to have to be a winner and a loser.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I saw some discussion on Twitter about the idea of, well, could you maybe have, you know, let in more people into the queue, but you sort of have more tickets, let's say, in the queue, that if the higher your score, the bigger your chance to get a pack, but at least more people have access to it. And, you know, that might be a solution. I think you're right. It's hard to please you're never going to please everyone. And I think Top Shot is really working to not call any one type of collector a true collector, right? They want people to be able to collect
their
in
own
all
way.
Different ways and have a fun experience and have an immersive experience, you know, as long as it's not, oh, you come in, you flip something for profit and you leave. But, you know, if you're in it, then you could be in it anyway and enjoy it and participate. And I think they want to encourage that. And I think that's why they've said all along, they're iterating, they're learning, this is uncharted territory, and they're open to feedback. And they've shown that.
Yeah, I agree. Adam, I want to thank you for your time. This has been, I think, most informative. And I think that you're going to be officially dubbed, without your consent, my regular Top Shot correspondent, whether you like it or not, because I think the information was great. And I think I already have your information in the show notes. Can you give people your Twitter information, because it's not spelled how they would expect?
Yes. So it is Keep Fishing, and it is FISCHIN. So that's my last name. There is the C in there that often gets forgotten, but is critical. I don't know who has the regular Keep Fishing with an SH on Twitter, but it's not me.
No, you're not going to find what you're looking for.
If you see an ape with a fez that's talking about a bunch of nerdy Top Shot stuff, you've come to the right place.
Yep, that's it. And I just did my Bored Ape episode. I've had a couple of them over the past, so that may be another conversation for another day. But Adam Beautiful. Fish, thank you so much for your time. I think if people want, you know, a good sort of analytical follow when it comes to the Top Shot universe, I think Adam's your guy. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Appreciate it, Jeremy. This is great.
I want to thank my guest, Adam Fish. Tremendous insight into the collector score in the Top Shot market. I hope you really enjoyed that as much as I did. Again, I will be back with Jacob Eisenberg this Tuesday. I'm going to turn that episode around really quickly. I have a lot of fun things planned for that episode. I'm looking forward to getting into it. I want to thank My Moment for sponsoring this episode. Check them out at mymoment.com. And we will be back at it with you on Tuesday. As always, thank you for your support. I feel like I have to thank Vivek Ravishankar, Kylo, Joe Swam, Pack Rip Ewing, people that have just been so incredibly kind and supportive of NFTeach and what we're trying to do here. I think I have to have Moment Wire as another one that I have to thank. Thank you all so much. And that's it for today. Stay safe, and we will talk to you soon. God bless.